The coach, William Sanderson, is scorching hot on the blue plate. No. He is 12-1. Somebody wrote an article about it. They sent us an article, some website, right? An article. He's on the Pepsi hotline. Hello, coach. How are you?
Doing okay, guys. Y'all okay?
Wonderful. Coach is presented by Craneworks. We'll get to the blue plate in a little bit. He'll tell you about Craneworks. We do start, though. I know you had a relationship with Cecil Hurd. He covered you as the Alabama basketball coach, and I'm sure he was on your show in Tuscaloosa with Barry many, many, many times. And it's a tragic loss anytime you lose life. Way too young for Cecil, but boy, what a legacy he leaves.
Yeah, he really does. He was a guy that understood coaching. I think he understood players, and I think he understood teams about as well as anybody that writes. And he was an excellent. I had a lot of private conversations with him myself, and he was really a person that, you know, tried to write the correct things and say the right things, and not, you know, just not be completely a guy that wanted to, you know, have readers read him because he said something controversial. He was just a good person. And 62 years of age is really too bad. I hate it so much for he and his family, but it is.
Well, I was going to say there's a different generation of writer out there now. I think Cecil respected what you guys did, and if there was something off record, it remained off record, right?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, he talked to me a lot about that kind of stuff and how ridiculous some of it was. But, yeah, he was the kind of guy that he was very, very careful as to what he said and the feelings that he hurt and so forth and the facts that he had. I think it was important that it wasn't a hearsay article by him. His articles basically were what he got from quoting people that had talked to him, but that wasn't, they were very, very few hearsay articles that people have, or articles that want to stir up people. I want you to read this, I want you to read that, because he said this about so-and-so. He just didn't do it that way.
Wimp Sanderson is with us. And Cecil Hurd was one of those guys that, you know, I always heard that if you were going to coach at Alabama, he was a guy you wanted on your side. His career started, you know, I mean, differently than yours, but Coach Bryant helped you early in your career. I was reading Kirk McNair yesterday. I never knew this about Cecil, that he got his start in the SID office at Alabama because of Coach Bryant and Charlie Thornton, who wanted to get Alabama students involved in the sports information and then into sports writing. Boy, Coach Bryant, he was a lot more than a football coach. I know he was athletic director, but to have that kind of insight of wanting to get students involved in sports information and using Mr. Charlie to do that, that was sort of forward thinking, wasn't it?
Yeah, Coach had a niche about him that he could see things maybe better than other people realized. And if he thought he could help a guy that or a certain spot that we needed somebody to do something sports wise, and he, you know, the guy maybe needed a little bit of help, and then all you had to do was sort of go to him and get him on the list. Coach Bryant had a list, and I had a lot of non-scholarship basketball players that I wanted to put on scholarship but couldn't. But I got him on the list, and when you can get him on the list, you might get in prime. And Paul Brian Hall and eat lunch and breakfast a couple of times a week. Nobody ever know it.
The coach, Wim Sanderson, is with us. He joins us courtesy of the Rental Works Division of Craneworks. There's no way to make a transition, coach, so we'll just do it as clumsily as we do the rest of the show. And let's talk about the Iron Bowl. I know as a coach at Alabama, playing Auburn is what historically, you know, in a lot of ways you've been judged by. Nick Saban has done that very well, but the one place Auburn has been able to get him a little bit is at Jordan Hare. This looks like an uphill battle for Auburn this year, but that is a stadium where strange things have happened to Nick Saban in Alabama.
Well, it has. He's 3-7 down there, and all of the games he's been down there, but he's, you know, one of the great coaches in the history of the game. I just think that it's a mental game again this year, more so than ever. When you look at the Alabama kids, you get worried and you say, well, you know, they look at it and say, well, you know, the kicker's gone and the quarterback's gone. This is not going to be the kind of game we thought it was going to be 2 weeks ago in some people's minds. So you worry about that. And then on Auburn's side, you either worry about them feeling like, you know, this is going to be very difficult to do without our starting quarterback and without a kicker. On the other side, you look at Auburn, and mentally they say, nobody expects us to win. We're 18.5-point dog. Let's band this thing together and play our hearts out and play better than we've ever played all year. So to me, because I'm big into the mental part of it, as most of you know, I think you play physically the way you are mentally. And if you're really ready to play mentally, you're going to play a much tougher. A great example this year for me was Arkansas playing Texas, back when Texas we thought was good. they were just ready to play, and they just, Texas had a good win. And so it was, it's just the way things go. But I think it's going to be a big mental game this year. I don't think that T.J. Finley is good enough to beat Alabama personally. I don't know that, but I don't think that. But the way they play and how hard they play is going to be critical.
Do you think Alabama ultimately gets in the college football playoff?
I think it's close. I don't want to say yes or no. I think it's a question if you'd like for me to say yes or no, so I won't.
I'm just wondering, like, let me give you an example, Wimp. Let's say that they crush Auburn, they win that game by 3-plus touchdowns, and they play a great game against Georgia, ultimately lose. So they've got two losses, and you've got a undefeated Cincinnati out there. You've got a one-loss Oklahoma State. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different things that can happen, but I think a lot of people believe a two-loss Alabama is better than those other teams.
Well, I think a lot of people do in this neck of the woods. I don't know the committee will do that. You know, the two games are huge. That's Michigan and Ohio State. It's which one of those is going to do what. That's big. And, of course, Alabama and Georgia, when they get to that one, is going to be huge. And Alabama, you know, he gets within 1 or 2 points of them, there might be a hope. I don't think a loss to Georgia will afford Alabama an opportunity to get in, personally, if you want me to say that. That's what I'll say. I don't know that because I'm not on the committee, but I think committee, I think there will be some people vote against Bryce for Heisman Trophy winner because Alabama had a Heisman Trophy winner last year.
I agree with that. Just I agree. Yeah.
That's just me. Mm-hmm. Alabama's had enough. Yeah, that's not me talking. That's what people that vote say. Alabama's had enough. They, you know, they had this skinny leg wide out last year. Get it? Nobody knew anything about it.
Oklahoma did win back-to-back not long ago, though.
The old skinny leg wide out.
They did, but they also weren't winning national championships and all the other awards. I think there's a fatigue out there, Lance. Yeah. Wimp, I agree with you.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I got some agreement. Well, y'all do pretty
good. We're smarter than you think we are.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah,
I hope you are.
We are.
I don't feel like Alabama would get in if they got beat even in a close game. Georgia is awfully good. You're going to have to play Georgia wide out. You're going to have to put, you know, with only one running back that you really feel comfortable with or a little bit comfortable with, it's going to be a pretty tough job. But first things first, and the Iron Bowl's first, and that'll be an interesting game, and it'll be a mental game for both of them, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, before you get to the blue plate, one basketball question, and a lot of good tournaments, Auburn and Alabama playing in them, UAB playing in them. But I want to ask you, last night, number one versus number two in Gonzaga, basically a 20-point game from the tip, just dominated UCLA in a rematch of a Final Four. Do you take anything away from a game in November in what is going to be a long season to get to, you know, eventually the tournament and then, you know, four wins to get to the Final Four? Do you take anything away either side of that last night, Gonzaga or the bad loss for UCLA?
Well, not too much. Certainly, if you're UCLA, you've got to improve whatever you did defensively. I fell asleep and didn't get to see the last half, to be honest with you.
Well, hey, it didn't change. It was Gonzaga from the tip.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So I didn't see the last half, but I think UCLA's got to get better. They got to improve. Gonzaga is so darn good. So, you know, Timmy's so good, and they're so experienced, and they had a great chance to win last year. Didn't. So I don't know if you take anything from it this early in the year. I think you just try to coach your team as best you can. If you get beat, you need to figure out why and what you need to do with your team, substitution patterns and so forth. But I really answer that question. Don't think you take, you know, you realize how good they are in Gonzaga, but I think you just try to start keep coaching your team and get the improvement there. So we'll see what Alabama and Auburn are good. The 3A's are good, Alabama, Auburn, and Arkansas. I was a little bit surprised with the way Auburn is trying to play with two big men at one time. It surprised me a little bit the way they played the other night against South Florida. But that I'm not coaching their team, and he does a great job. So we'll see what happens. But it's a league this year, Jim, of six teams at the top. A few three teams in the middle, and five or six teams at the very bottom that will stay at the bottom.
Yep.
So it's going to be six, and it's going to be 11, and it's going to be three, the Mississippi States and LSUs I can't figure out. You've got to add Florida to the top six in the league, along with the three O's and A's and Kentucky and Tennessee. I can't put LSU in that group, but the LSUs and Mississippi States and Ole Misses would be in the middle, and then you'd have the rest of the teams who are going to struggle, to be honest with you, I think. So we'll see.
All right, he is Coach Wimps Anderson. He's on the Pepsi Hotline presented by Rental Works, and each week he brings us the Blue Plate Special.
Blue Plate Special, sitting in a mayonnaise jar on Sonny Smith's porch, yeah.
Well, I get it down, craneworks.com. I wanted to mention them. I'll do that.
We'll definitely do that. You're 12-1.
I don't know. I looked pretty hard at Pitt and 11 against Syracuse.
Yep, favorite there.
I decided against it.
Right.
I took Cincinnati for the first time.
Cincinnati. Well, it's a name favorite. I had you going Oklahoma State minus the 4.
I had Notre Dame minus the 19.5.
Yeah.
I had Alabama minus all the points.
Wow.
All the points. I thought you'd go sweet home, but you did not. So tell me about Cincinnati. Well, why Cincinnati?
Well, I think that they're so excited about being where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity to get where they are, and you check the score. I just think that they're going to play their fannies off and score every time they get the ball. Now, you know, naturally, they got to score more than 21 if the other team gets 14, because it's a 14 point game. But I don't know if that's a great one.
Well, all the rest of them have been.
There's a lot of silence on the other end. By
Lance,
guys,
just tell him you like it.
No, he don't have to tell me. Like
no, I'm just. I mean, the Pirates are playing pretty well. They've won four straight. They're 7-4. They're 4-1 at home. The number looks low. I think this doesn't matter because every game you're on, 75% of the public's right there with you, and you continue to win. So you probably have a winner here.
13 I have a question.
Well, the number was low, and it was 13 in the other game or something. Right. The number was low for me, and I just felt like if you ever had your team ready to play, brother, on the road, it's just out of
you're
the,
kidding.
This
do you remember your loss? Do you remember which game you lost this year?
Yeah, I lost eight. I won two or three times with Texas, but I lost at Texas, Oklahoma State.
Texas Oak State.
That was the one loss.
Yep.
So, dadgummit, Sark kept you from being perfect this year.
Could have just played against him every week.
Sark, yeah, it's probably pretty good.
Sark better hold on. Sark better hold on six in a row. Wow.
more on that coming up in the next hour. The coach is going Cincinnati minus the 13.5 for his blue plate, and he's presented each week by the Rental Works Division of Crane Works. Tell him about it, Coach.
Well, Crane Works is great people, and David Upton is terrific. Whether you have an in-home project coming up or a corporate construction job, you need to check out Rental Works, a division of Crane Works, and they'll do a great job for you. CraneWorks.com is the very, very best. Appreciate you guys having me on, and we'll see what happens on that blue plate.
Well, we love you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Y'all very too. Thankful for you, man.
Yeah. See you, love y'all, too. Y'all are good guys.
Bye-bye. Oh, thank you, Coach. Nicest thing you could have ever said about us. Right
didn't
there on
get
the Pepsi
a lob in there, though.
Oh, he did it. No, he said it. Rockstar, I have to go back to the tape. He mumbled it. We were all talking.
Yeah.
I mean, it was heartfelt. I felt it.